All right. Well, this morning I mentioned to you guys we started Revelation last weekend, taking a break this weekend for the holiday. We'll be back to it next weekend, so Revelation 1 next weekend. But today we're going to hear from Acts chapter 4, and I've invited one of my good friends. His name's Aaron Moreno. You guys may know him from just around Calvary, but welcome him as Aaron comes up. Give him a hand.
How you guys doing today? Awesome. Well, if you guys pre-marked your Bibles to Acts 4, why don't you open those up? One more time, how many of you guys went to Freedom Fest? So far. That's a pretty good amount. How many of you guys got to see Emory? Did you guys like Emory? Awesome. Well, I had the privilege of getting to chauffeur and hang out with Emory pretty much during the weekend. And one thing you got to know about Emory is that they love their football. They love football. Sounds weird. You wouldn't think that a band like Emory would love football that much. But I believe, seriously, from the time that I picked them up at the airport to the time that we hung out last night after the show, they were talking about football. And there was even a game that they wanted to see while they were playing their set, and they even considered taking a TV with them on stage and watching it while they were playing, but that wasn't allowed. But they love football, that's for sure. They're all really good guys, but I noticed that unhealthy obsession of football from those guys. But today what we're going to be talking about is, what do we love? What are we in love with? Why don't you guys go ahead and open up if you guys aren't already there to Acts 4. We're going to start in verse 16. All right. It says, "What shall we do with these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. From now on they speak to no man in this name. So they call them and command them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So I titled this message, To Write Love on Our Hearts. You guys might have heard of that company, To Write Love on Our Arms. And I titled this, To Write Love on Our Hearts, because right here we see Peter and John living for Christ in a way that they aren't ashamed to speak, even under suppression of the council and all these people. They were speaking in the name of Christ, and it was written on their hearts. So we're going to kind of look at Peter and John's situation here and what exactly was happening. So if you want to glance back, turn back just to chapter 3. We're going to look kind of what happened previous to this, and in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going up to the temple to go pray, and they came across a man who was sitting by the temple on by the temple gate, and he was a lame man, and not like lame, like he was a loser or anything like that, but he was a lame man who had a disability with his legs, and he couldn't walk. His knees and his ankles were buckled, and he basically just sat there all day, and he would ask for alms or money. And as soon as he saw Peter and John, he asked them for money, and Peter says, "Look at us. I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of the Nazarene, walk." They lifted him up by the hand, and immediately his feet and ankles were healed. And this man who has had this physical disability was basically known as the town bum, I guess you could say. He was sat by the beautiful gate, which was called, and asked for money. And the people knew him. The people knew that he was crippled and that he had this physical disability, couldn't walk. And I'm sure he probably asked most people there for money. And so when they lifted him up, people were astonished and amazed. They knew this guy he wasn't able to walk. And so whenever he was able to walk and be lifted up, it raised eyebrows. People recognized it. And he was singing praises to God. And so this kind of drew some attention to Peter and John. And right away they start defending the gospel and telling these people to repent. And everybody that noticed this man be healed, they told him to repent and to draw close to God, that this was done through Christ Jesus and not through them. And so the council and the Sadducees and all these people noticed this and were angered by it. And so they took these men and Peter and John, and they arrested them. And through this, it says about 5,000 people came to Christ. And we see that they took them that night, and very next morning they brought him before the council to realize what they wanted to do with him. And so that kind of brings us where we're at now in chapter 4. So if you're there. So why? Why did Peter and John speak in the name of Jesus, even to the point that the council and just these people who were offended by it, they wanted to kill him or discipline them harshly? And I kind of think about it like even just our government here. Would we be able to stop speaking in the name of Jesus if they told us not to? And so that's kind of what I'm going to be touching on more this morning. But they were even to the point where they're willing to die for it. Why is that? And I want to say because love was written on their hearts, the love of Christ. And so the first point I want to bring up is what do we love? What do we love? Here's a few statistics and things that kind of take up our time, I realize, and some things we may say we love. But listen to these. I was researching about TV, and I found some statistics that said the average American logs about 4 hours of TV every day. Some more, and you guys, you know who you are, who log more. That's about 120 hours a month. That's 1,440 hours a year. And in about a 65-year-long lifespan, that's about 9 years watching TV. And research some more on movies. As you can tell, movies are probably the highest price right now than ever. But that still doesn't stop us from watching movies. Like the new Batman. How many of you guys seen the new Batman? Yeah. Real good. How many of you guys have seen it more than me? I've seen it 3 times already. Anybody seen it more than 3 times? How many? 5 times? How many times have you guys seen it? 5. My goodness. That's a lot of times. So as you can imagine, I mean, you pay about, let's say, round it off to about $10 a month per movie. And, I mean, that includes, like, your popcorn and stuff. If you go during the nighttime, it's about $9.25, I believe, a ticket. Maybe it's even more than that now. There's a place in California that's charging $10.75 a ticket. And so I researched in about an average American lifetime, we spend about $7,800 on movies. And that doesn't even include stuff like movie rentals or anything like that. And there's actually a place in Chicago, in a suburban of Chicago, that is about to open this year, and it's a deluxe movie cinema, and they're going to charge $35 a ticket. $35 a ticket. So you think movie and a dinner and a movie, you're going to have to take out a small loan for that, and that's something you have to do rare. I was going to research clothes, but I thought I probably wouldn't open that can of worms because it's probably a little different between us guys and the girls, because, I mean, we'll just take like a t-shirt and pants, but girls, you can spend like $1 million on that stuff. So I didn't even look into that. The point is there's so many things competing for our attention. There's so many things. Even when I was studying and researching this, I was on a website, and you go right on this website, and all these pop-ups come up, and they're flashy colors, all these ads, you know, ads for like Mervyn's, Best Buy, Rogaine, all this stuff, and they're trying to get your attention. They want you to buy their stuff. They want you to be a dedicated customer. And I mean, media wants our attention. If we didn't give it our time or our money or our attention, I believe there would be no media because there's nothing to feed off of it. Same with clothing. They want us to have the latest and greatest things, and they want us to feel like we need their stuff, because if we have their latest and greatest clothes, we're going to be accepted and we're going to be loved. And even friends want our attention. I've even had friends, you know, the popular kids at school that say, hey, if you don't give us your attention and your time, then we're not going to be friends with you, and we're gonna not associate ourselves with you, and you're going to feel unaccepted and unloved. And so what are we giving our attention to? What are we giving our time? What are we giving our love to? And what are we holding so close to us that it means the world to us, that we're truly loving? A couple weeks back, I help out here at the bookstore here at Calvary, and it was Friday night, I believe, and we were just about closing the store, and we realized as we're walking out, there was a man coming out kind of from the shadows, and he was walking like he was drenched. He was kind of walking like that, like he was just soaked in water. And it rained really hard that night, and we realized while we were in the bookstore how hard it was raining. And so this guy came out, and a question he asked us that you don't normally hear is, where can I get saved? He asked us, where can I get saved? And we were just kind of astonished by it. We weren't sure what was going on. So we took him inside, and we gave him a shirt to change, and he was telling us that he was walking over here by this big arroyo, that ditch over there, and it was raining hard, and I guess he was riding a bike, and he got a flat tire, and he was trying to make it to a friend's house, and so he ditched the bike, he left it there, and as he was walking, he slipped in the ditch, and he was telling us that he was over there. I don't know if you guys know over there on Montgomery where that IHOP is and Panda Express and stuff. He said he was up there, and he was taken all the way down by over here, just I think right over here on Asuna, and he was just saying he was up and under the water for 15 minutes, and he couldn't breathe. He said all he could think about is just he was going to die, and you could see just the fear in his eyes. And he was telling us that he had this backpack on, and it was pulling him under, and he couldn't get above water. And he had all his stuff in there. He had a bunch of clothes. He said he had his shoes. He had his cell phone and just all these things. And he didn't want to let it go. And he said it kept pulling him under until eventually he realized that this is going to kill him. This is going to take him under, and he's going to drown. And so he finally let it go and was able to swim against the current and get on one of the banks and get out. But you could see just how scared he was. He thought he was going to die. And he was all beaten up. And so I want to kind of relate that to the love for the things of this world. It's like that backpack. It's gonna destroy us. It's going to beat us up. It's going to take us under. And we got to let that go. We got to have those things at arm's length. We got to keep it away from us and not love it. And you can say, well, I don't love my TV, or I don't love my clothes, or to that extent, you know. But next point I want to kind of really touch on is what exactly is love? What is love? How can we analyze it? And there's a specific kind of love I'm talking about, and that would be agape love. And I'm not going to jump too much into that, but exactly what does this look like? I researched a bit on Wikipedia, and it says that many thought that this love represents divine, unconditional, self-sacrificing, active and thoughtful love. And that's what Wikipedia says, but why don't we take a look at what the Bible says. If you guys want to turn to Matthew 22:37 real quick. All right. And mark this down. I mean, read it for later and really meditate on this. But all right, this is what it says. Just when Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So to love God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. So what's written on our hearts? And what's written on our minds and on our soul? What do we think about most when we say what's written on our minds? Is it something like some of the hobbies that we can really, I guess you could say, love because we think about it. We think about it more than God. Is it something like skating? Or is it football? Or is it those like online relationships, you know, MySpace or our Facebook, where we can't stop thinking, we have to go to it. We're living on there. Or is it, you know, the latest and greatest clothes or our technology? I know sometimes for me it's been my iPhone and sometimes I just have to get rid of that. I know Kevin can relate to some extent. There's just so much to do on there and it's just like I want more, you know, there's more applications, all this stuff. Or is it that cute guy or cute girl that we can't stop thinking about? You know, what's written on our minds? Or what's written in our hearts? What do we stand up for? Is it when someone's bashing on us personally or when someone is saying bad things behind our back? Or is what written on our hearts is when someone's making fun of Jesus? Are we there to stand up for that? Is that what's written in our hearts? When we truly love Jesus, that we can take a stand for him. One thing for me, I know, which I can honestly say that I had a sort of love for this is music. I've been doing music since I was about 15, and it was always kind of like I needed more. You know, I needed to be better. I needed to have the latest and coolest guitar. I needed to have, you know, better songs. And so that's all I could think about is trying to get better. And it was all about me. It was a love for myself. And it was always wanting to improve how I was and loving myself, trying to look like a rock star or something like that. And I mean, now I just look like a bum, but it's just, God really even at a point took that away from me just so I can refocus and realize what I truly love. One thing I've also noticed is when we love something, we tend to mimic that. We tend to want to be something like what we love. And some of you guys might have heroes out there or role models that you look up to. You might not say, well, I mean, I don't love them, but are you saying that, but you're truly living like you love them? I mean, people have certain movie stars that they try to act like or that they look up to. And sometimes you'll end up starting to act like them without even realizing it. One of those people for me when I was young, I used to, don't laugh at me now. I used to like wrestling. I was a loser for sure. I used to love wrestling. I would watch it all the time. My neighbor had the pay-per-view and I'd go over there and watch that. I was pretty hardcore. I had all the shirts and all that stuff. But, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time was Sting. I don't know if you guys remember him, Sting. But you remember? Okay, he was the guy. He had like the white and black face paint. He had like on his tights, the scorpions and all this stuff. And at first I idolized this guy. I loved him, I guess you could say, because I was wanting to watch all of his matches. I wanted to get all of the toys of him and all this stuff. And I was even saying things and kind of trying to portray myself like him, even some of his catchphrases and stuff, which I don't remember what they are. But and then I realized it got a little too far when I was starting to wear the face paint and you know, wearing tights and then asked to, like, if I could, like, try a pile drive move around my grandpa or something like that. Like, I realized it was a little too far at that point. But what are we loving to the point where we are becoming mimickers or imitators of that? If you remember, just write this down. Ephesians 5:1 basically just says, let us be imitators of God, of imitators of Christ, to mimic Christ and be just like him. Peter and John did this. Obviously, Christ went out and he healed people. He showed the love that he wanted us to show also. He gave us a perfect example, being obedient and doing all this. And he's called us to also. And Peter and John are this perfect example. They're imitators of Christ. And they, even to the point of they were willing to die because they believed in it and they loved it. But the way we can test really to see what we love is what occupies our time. Where does our money go? When no one's around, behind closed doors, and we're by ourselves, what are we spending on our souls? Valuable time with God, or are we on the computer, or are we on the phone with friends, or what are we putting before God? And that's one thing you can to test to see if what you love. Why don't you do this? Why don't you turn with me to 1 John 2:15. Here's what it says. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's pretty basic. But just like I said that story before with the man that was fell in the ditch and he had his backpack. That relates to the love of the world, that we want to hold on to it. If we want to hold on to it, it says that we're not of the Father, that's gonna take us under. That's gonna kill us, and the things of the world are so empty. I kind of think about it like this, now that Halloween time is coming up. It's always, especially here when they have the things on, it seems like they give like a big bag of candy to everybody. And so it seems like a couple years ago, whenever Halloween came around, I was super excited about it because, I mean, I don't eat much candy, but I figured if any time, why not Halloween time? So I would pretty much starve myself all day just so I can have all this, you know, goodness of chocolate and candy and all this stuff. And you're hungry. You're hungry all day. And by the time night comes around, when usually all the candy's being passed out, you just feast on that. And yeah, it might taste good and might taste satisfying for a bit. But afterward, you feel probably worse than before. Instead of your stomach hurting from hunger, now it's hurting because you want to throw up. But it just leaves you empty. And the things and the love of this world will do the same thing. And it won't satisfy what we need, that void in our hearts. But the thing that will, it always will satisfy us, is Christ. And one dictionary gave this definition of love. And it says, love is an intense emotional attachment to someone or something. Peter and John had this attachment because they knew Christ personally. And they knew of his saving grace. And so I want to challenge you guys. Do we know Christ personally? Do we have that attachment to him? Do we love him? And I personally think that love is a devout, unconditional type of love for someone or something to the most extreme point that you would be willing to die for that. And Peter and John were there. They were there before the council, willing to die because that love was written on their hearts. You can write this down if you want. But basically in 1 John 3:16, it says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And also in write this down too if you remember, John 15:13-14. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's Christ speaking. He wants us to love him. And so maybe we may not love movies or TV in that sense, or our clothes. We would be willing to die for it. I don't think we would love movies or TV to that extreme, or skating or whatever it is, you know. But it shows our love what we're truly giving ourselves over to. And I realize now, even too, now that school started for you guys, that time is so valuable. I mean, you pretty much spend the half of the day in school, and the next half you spend doing homework or hanging out with your family or your friends. And I'm sure the last thing you want to do is go and pray or read, read the Bible. But let me just say that there's no greater fulfillment than doing that. There's nothing greater than the time that you could use to love yourself and treat yourself than giving that love to God and spending time in prayer. And time is valuable. It seems like there's not enough hours in the day, but if we truly, truly love God, then that's what we give our time over to. And He'll bless us for it. In Proverbs 8:17, it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So that just shows that God delights in that. God delights in us when we seek after Him. And like I said, it's hard. It's really hard. But next point I want to touch on is, why do you love that? Listen to this quote. This is one of the best quotes I've ever read, and I wanted to share with you guys. It's in a book called God is the Gospel by John Piper. And he says, listen to this. The critical question for our generation is, and for every generation, is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness, with all the friends you ever had, and all the food you ever liked, and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, no human conflict or any natural disaster, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? That's a hard thing to swallow. Are we truly loving Christ? Or are we just loving the things that He offers? Sometimes we almost feel obligated to spend time with God because we feel that He will... It's something that we have to do when we're in sin or something. I felt a couple years back that I had to come to God because I was in sin, and that would be the only way He accepted me. But like I said before, if we diligently seek after Him, He'll bless us. And there's no greater fulfillment than that. It's so powerful because love, you may be fooled that, well, I'm not, loving, like I said, the movies or TV or clothes or just material things. But are we? One of my favorite bands is a band called Thrice. I don't know if you guys ever heard of them, but such a great band. But they depict a good way of this by in one of their songs called Moving Mountains. And this is what it says. It says, moving mountains ain't a thing to me. Have faith enough to cast them in the sea, but I don't know the first thing about love. I give my body up into the flames, and never once have I denied your name, but I don't know the first thing about love. And we may say, well, I know love. I'm not fooled because I've seen it before. Maybe I was in love once, or maybe I've seen it, on The Young and the Restless or something like that. But it seems like so many people are fooled in the world. Here's some lyrics I brought up on the top 20 worst love songs ever written. Okay, listen to this one. This song's called Love Hurts. It says, I'm young, I know, but even so, I know a thing or two. I learned from you. I really learned a lot. Really learned a lot. Love is like a flame. It burns you when it's hot. Love hurts. Oh, love hurts. Here comes the next part. Some fools think of happiness, blissfulness, togetherness. Some fools fool themselves, I guess. They're not fooling me. I know it isn't true. I know it isn't true. Love is just a lie made to make you blue. Love hurts. Oh, love hurts. And then there's a wicked guitar solo after that. Listen to this one. I wasn't even sure if I was going to add this in here, but this is a song called Muskrat Love by a band called America. It says, nibbling on bacon, chewing on cheese. Sammy says to Susie, honey, would you please be my missus? And she says with her kisses, singing and jinging the Django, floating like the heavens above, it looks like muskrat love. I don't even know what that means. I'm not even going to ask, so. But are we fooling ourselves what love is? It's hard. I'm going to admit it's hard. I can stand up here and say it's really hard to love just the things of the Lord and the Lord when sometimes the world looks so appealing. It looks so good. But like I said, like the candy for Halloween, it leaves you empty. And it's sickening to say the least. You feel like it could satisfy you, but after it's all done, you just feel worse than before. And the only love that can satisfy us is the love of Christ. Kevin actually said this last night, that Christ loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. Shouldn't we be willing to live for him? Maybe you guys have seen that picture before. It's a picture of Christ on the cross, and his arms are spread wide, and it says, "I loved you this much." He died on the cross for our sins, and we should be willing to live for him. And that's exactly what it shows here in Peter and John. And to wrap things up, it says in chapter 5, if you guys want to read it later, they were let free with a warning, but they still didn't stop speaking the name of Christ. They love Christ that much. Love was written on their hearts that they were willing to just keep speaking, even if that meant the council killing them. But they spoke again, and they were put in prison. And an angel of the Lord came and let them out of prison. And they were told to go to the temple and speak again. Toward the end of that chapter, it closes with them saying that they were brought before the council, were warned stricter, and they were flogged. They were beaten. And they didn't walk out of there saying, "Wow, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I thought being a Christian was all about. So I'm done. I'm not gonna be living this anymore." But no, they walked out of there rejoicing and singing praises, and praising God that they were even worthy to suffer for his name. And so we're probably kind of wondering, well, how can we go about this love in that way? Maybe you're convinced that I want that type of love. Even just in school, just to live boldly and just to follow after Christ. And that's the best way we can do it, and just be bold like Peter and John, that we shouldn't be afraid. Use what you do love, though, and desire for God's glory. If that is music, like me, I love music, and I want to use it for God's glory. So I'm able to tour and do all these things and preach the gospel, and it's such a blessing. If you guys love sports, if you guys love fashion, if you guys, whatever it is, you guys can use that for God's glory. I'm going to go ahead and close with this. We're kind of running out of time, but there's a quote by C.S. Lewis, and listen to this, and we may think that it's so hard that to love, we just love the things of the world, and we just think, well, why can't God have just made us love him, you know? But forced love isn't true love. But listen to this quote by C.S. Lewis. It says, "Some people may think that they can imagine a creature which was free but had no possibility of going wrong. I cannot. If a thing is free to be good, it is also free to be bad. And free will has made evil possible. Why then did God give them free will? Because free will, though it makes evil possible, is also the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth having." So we have a free choice. We have a free choice to not speak in the name of Christ, or we have the choice to be like Peter and John. The Bible is the greatest love story ever written, and Christ was the greatest lover. God was the greatest lover that ever existed. He's alive, and he wants us to live out that love. But I'm just going to close with that, but I just wanted to challenge you guys with that. If you don't know that love personally, there's all the kinds of leaders around. Come find one of us. We'd be happy to pray with you guys. But let's go ahead and close in. We'll pray with us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, just for your love for us, that we could just live in your love, Lord, and for loving us so much that you would die for us, Father. The least we could do is just live for you, Lord. We just thank you so much for that. I just pray for all the students here, Lord, that they would just live out that love, that you would just write that love on their hearts, Lord, that they would just be willing to go to the most extreme, Lord, for you. We love you, Heavenly Father. And we just give this day to you. I pray that we would just walk in your love. In your name, amen.